Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
Now we're going to read this afternoon three passages, I think, in the scriptures. First of all, Genesis chapter 1. I want to speak to you about the subject of light. We're going to experience some darkness because of the season, but we're going to start with a cheery note. We're going to look at the subject of light. And we're going to read verse 3 of Genesis chapter 1. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Now over to the New Testament, the Gospel by John. And those who have read John's Gospel will know there is quite a large parallel between the book of Genesis and the Gospel of John. We're going to read in chapter 1, first of all, and we're going to read verse 4. Now, the subject of this verse is the Lord Jesus as the eternal Word. And John says in verse 4, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Now we'll maybe move over to chapter 3 for the verse. And we're looking at verse 18. "He that believeth on him," that is the Lord Jesus, "is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Now one final reading, please, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, and reading in chapter 4. And we'll read at verse 3. 2 Corinthians 4 and 3. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Now we know that the Lord will bless this reading from his word. Now the reason that I've read in Genesis chapter 1 is that there is introduced into the universe in the first day light. God says, "Let there be light," and there was light. That is physical light. That is the light we know, whether it comes from the sun or the reflected light from the moon, or whether it's light that we have from lights. It's physical light that God introduces. God energized the universe. But very quickly, as you read through the Bible, you discover that light is used in various ways. We speak about being enlightened. We speak of a period in history, indeed, which is called the Enlightenment. Whether it was an enlightenment is another question, but that's what it's called. And so we use light in, technically we might call it a metaphysical way, not in a physical way, but it means something else. And in our passages, we have read of light in this way, not physical light, but we've read of the Lord Jesus as the light. We've read of that in John's Gospel in chapter 1 and again in chapter 3. Light, the Lord Jesus is the light that has come into the world. And that, of course, parallels what we find in Genesis chapter 1. We've read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that the gospel brings light, the light of the glorious gospel. So the gospel brings light, and we're going to think about the way in which the gospel can be spoken of in that way. We've also read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 about the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. So knowledge, and in particular here, the knowledge of the glory of God, is light. That's how it's spoken of, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. So you can see from these various scriptures that light is spoken of in a number of ways that is important to us. And the reason that I've read Genesis chapter 1 is really this, that God sets a pattern in Genesis chapter 1. You know, we're living in an age where people dismiss Genesis chapter 1. But Genesis chapter 1 is the foundation stone of everything that God will later do in this world. And God follows the pattern that he has established in Genesis chapter 1. And that pattern is this, that God brings light to those that are in darkness. And what that means for us this afternoon is this, that if we don't know God, if we're in the dark, as it were, as far as God is concerned, and God is unknown to us, then we want to say to you that God brings light and God is able to illuminate you and able to bring you into a knowledge of himself. And that's why we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, because there we have read of the light of the knowledge, the light of the gospel of the glory of God. And we've read of the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And you might say to me this afternoon, well, what is this? What does this mean? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God. What is the glory of God? Well, glory is a difficult thing maybe to explain, but it has this basic thought. It is the excellence of God, the revealed excellence of God. God is a wonderful being. He is the supreme being. And he is wonderful, and he is glorious, and God wants us to know himself. He wants a relationship with us, and that glory has been made known, that excellence has been made known in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we read in John chapter 3, light is come into the world. It is now possible not only for us to know about God, but for us to know God personally, to have a relationship with God, because the light of the glorious gospel of God, the glorious gospel of Christ, is able to shine into our hearts. And the light of the knowledge of the glory of God is available to us. And so this afternoon we have a message of great hope and of great potential for you. Because it is possible for men and women and boys and girls who are yet, as it were, at a distance from God because of our sins, it is possible for us to come to know the living and the true God. His glory, his excellence has been made known. When the Lord Jesus came, he revealed what God was like. We read in John chapter 1, no man has seen God ever yet. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And so if you want to understand what God is like, just watch, just look at, just listen to the Lord Jesus in his ministry on earth. He came as the light. He came to show men and women what God is like. That's why we read right at the beginning of John's Gospel, In him was life, and the life, that is the life that is in him, is the light of men. That is how we get to know God. It is from the revelation that he gave of God himself. And so the light has shone into this world of darkness. You may be in ignorance. You may not know God. You may have little understanding of God. But the wonderful thing is this, the light is shining. The light is still shining. And it is possible for you to come to know the God of heaven, to know him in a personal way as your Father and the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. And the reason behind that is this, that the gospel is a gospel of light. Now, when we read in John chapter 3, we discovered that there were two responses to the light when the Lord Jesus came. There were those that rejected the light. They said, we don't want the light. And there were those who benefited from it. Now, why was it that there were these two responses to the light? When the Lord Jesus came and he lived amongst men, and men could look upon the incarnate Son of God, why was it there were those that rejected him? Well, the reason that is given in John chapter 3 is this, is that one of the characteristics of light is this, that it manifests things. It reveals things. It shows things up for what they are. So, for example, if we switch the lights off in this hall, we would be in darkness. I would not be able to tell much about the way you're dressed, the way you appear. I wouldn't know whether you are tidy and kempt or whether you're untidy or whatever. I would be in the dark. But as soon as the light is switched on, I can see the reality of what you are in a physical, outward sense. But you see, the light of Christ, the light of the Word of God, it reveals what we are. It reveals, you know, God always knows what we are, but it reveals what we are to ourselves. And as we come to the Word of God and as we listen to the Gospel of God, we find things about us that are uncomfortable. So the Bible makes clear to us, the Gospel makes clear to us, that whilst it's a message of good news, it's a message that has to do with man's salvation from their sins. What does the Gospel reveal? The Gospel reveals my condition before God. You see, that's what the people in John 3 didn't like. They love darkness rather than the light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. The light exposed them. The light showed them for what they were before God. And so being in the light as a sinner is a very uncomfortable experience, because we are shown up for being sinners before God. And we need to accept, we need to be prepared to allow the Word of God to expose to ourselves what we are. Now, we're completely open before God. God knows exactly what we are. We can't fool him, but we can fool ourselves. We can deceive ourselves. But you see, as we allow the light of the gospel of Christ to shine in our hearts, what it's going to do is, first of all, show me what I am. That I'm at a distance from God. That I'm estranged from him. I've sinned against him. And so my condition is made clear to me. But the other aspect is this, that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ shows to us what God has done to rectify all of that. And so the gospel tells me about a saviour who came from heaven, who went to the cross and who died on the cross, not for his own sins, for he was sinless, he was holy, but one who died for our sins. One who paid the price that we might be delivered, that we might be redeemed. He suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And the gospel, that the light of the gospel of Christ shows us what Christ has done, what God has done in Christ, not only in his death, but in raising him from the dead. And so light reveals to us the wonderful way of salvation that we need, because the light has exposed me. The light has manifested my condition as a sinner, but the light also shows me the way of salvation. And Paul puts it beautifully here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, it's the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Christ is a glorious person who is wonderful to get to know, because he's able to save us. He's able to keep us. He's able to empower us. There is a glory about the person of the Lord Jesus. He's sinless, but he's gracious, and he's loving, and he's powerful. He's able to save to the uttermost, the Hebrew writer puts it, all that come unto God by him. And so the light is shining today still. The light of the gospel that tells us about what we are and shows us what God has done in the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus to provide us salvation. That light is still shining as we preach it. But the question comes to us, what is my response to it? Now, when we come to John chapter 3, John gives us a warning in his gospel. And he tells us that there are people who hate the light and love the darkness. They love the darkness. They love this ignorance of God. And the reason is because their deeds are evil. Now, that's a very serious thing that is being presented to us in John's gospel. And we're told in John chapter 3 that there is judgment, that there is a consequence for being in this state of unbelief that John speaks about. You notice again the words, he that believeth on him, that is the Lord Jesus, is not condemned, is not judged. But he that believeth not is judged already. So it's not a question of kind of waiting to the judgment of God to come and then things will be decided. No, it's already determined. And you say, why is that? Because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. They have rejected Christ. And this is the judgment, that light came into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And my question this afternoon to our hearts is this. As we think about the light of the gospel that would not only show me that I need a saviour, but would point to me to the person of the Lord Jesus who died for me on the cross and rose again. What's my response to that? You see, there are those that John chapter 3 speaks about who they love the darkness. They love their sin. They love their ignorance of God. It means they don't have to think about the uncomfortable matters that the gospel exposes in us. But they will be judged. They are judged already. You know, in our world today, love seems to justify just about anything. Love is the statement. But what we find in John chapter 3 is we can have misplaced love. Men love darkness. In John's first letter, he says, God is light. But here in John chapter 3, we have men who are loving what God is not. Men love darkness. I wonder how this answers to your heart this afternoon. In the great matter of light and darkness, the Lord Jesus has come. He's revealed God. But there are those who hate the light. I hope the very fact you're here this afternoon means that you have an interest in the light. But I also want to alert you to the fact that there is a being who is active in our world who wants to blind your mind. That's what Paul speaks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, if our gospel is veiled, it's hid. It's like having a veil over your head. It is veiled in them who are lost. in whom the God of this age has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now, you know what blindness is. Blindness is when we lose the capacity to see. And what Paul is saying is, look, you need to understand that the devil, the God of this age, is intent in blinding, not physically, but blinding the mind, so that men don't think about God. Men become unaware of God's existence. They dismiss God. Why does Satan do that? Lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, should shine into them. And so we're living in a world where there is darkness, not just physical darkness, but moral darkness, ignorance of God. The gospel can enlighten me, but if I reject it, Satan takes a great interest in that. Satan is interested in men and women who believe not, and what he will see to, and what he will ensure, is that their minds are blinded. You see, how does he do that? Well, he can do it in a whole range of ways. He can fill your mind with everything except the Word of God. He can encourage you to be busy. He can encourage you to be absorbed with the things of time and sense and give no thought to what is spiritual and eternal. And he's able to blind the minds of them that believe not. And so the gospel presents to us what I am, a sinner in the sight of God. That light is uncomfortable. If you want to read about how uncomfortable it is, just read John 8. And John 8 is a chapter where the light is shining and it exposes the unbelief of religious men. But the light of God is revealing. And the light of God and the light of the gospel reveals to me the salvation that is in Christ. But I need to be prepared to embrace that light and believe in the light. And if we do that, then the Bible tells us that we become children of light. We're brought into the family of God and we're no more in darkness. And the believer is spoken about in a remarkable way in John's first letter. John speaks of the believer as walking in the light. Because now we have a relationship with God. We know God as our Father. We know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour. And we're no longer regarded as being in the dark. Now, nobody likes to be in the dark. At least I hope not. We don't like being excluded and to be ignorant of things. But here's the most important aspect of that truth. We need the light of the gospel. And we need the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. You know, God has created us in a way where there is something in us that desires what is transcendent and eternal. You see, man was made to know God. But fallen man has tried to fill that void with anything and everything. But you will discover at the end of the day that if you go in for sin and this world, it cannot lastingly satisfy you. Because God has made you in such a way that only himself can satisfy. Only the transcendent nature of the divine can fully satisfy the human heart. And so we present to you this afternoon the Lord Jesus, the light of the world, who is made known to us in the gospel message, a gospel that reveals us, but also reveals the wonderful way of salvation. And we would urge you today not to be like those in John 3 who hate the light, but that you might come to love the light and to come to put your trust in the Lord Jesus, the light of the world. Shall we pray? Thank you.
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.